This is Golf Talk Canada, Canada's only national golf talk radio and TV program, presented by TaylorMade. Golf has a new game-changing number. Experience TaylorMade speed with the forgiveness of 10K inertia with the all-new QI 10 Max, only from TaylorMade. Visit TaylorMadeGolf.ca to learn more about the QI 10 Carbon Woods. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino, Bob Weeks, and Adam Scully.
Oh, good morning, Canada. Mark Sacchino with you. Trying to make my way home from Florida as we speak. First off, we got to apologize a little bit this morning. A little bit of a technical glitch this morning as Adam, Bob, the rest of the TSN Masters crew is at Augusta. They'll be coming up here momentarily. The rest of the show will come to you from Augusta National, as it is Masters week here on TSN. Everybody's been waiting, holding their breath. If even if you're just a remotely, just a little bit of a golf fan, you cannot wait for this time of the year. So there's going to be a lot of golf, a lot of Masters content over the next 2 hours for you. I'm going to be making my way back to the Great White North. Been on the road most of the year for PGA Tour Live, PGA Tour Radio. If you listen to Golf Talk Canada, watch Golf Talk Canada, you know that already. Adam's been doing the hosting duties, and I have been trying to participate and jumping in from West Coast Swing, Florida Swing. We've had some really good golf, great golf at places like Pebble Beach, Riviera, TPC Sawgrass. But big flip side of that coin is there are some TV numbers down. There are some people saying I've kind of tuned out because we have some first timers. We have names, you know, involved this year that people are unaware of. Nick Dunlap winning at the American Express, becoming the first amateur to get it done since Mickelson over 30 years ago. Matthew Pavon, rookie on tour. People are like, who's Matthew Pavon? So we've had weeks like that to kind of, you know, bridge us between those. Wyndham Clark wins at Pebble Beach and Scottie Scheffler wins at the Arnold Palmer Invitational and the Players' Championship. So now we finally put the golf world back together again. We all get to Augusta. The LIV players are back. There's 13 of them in the field with a field of 88 golfers in total. And when you're talking about the Masters, it is hard to figure out. It is the smallest field of the year. And how many of the players in this field are ceremonial? We're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about it Wednesday. I'm sure we'll get to it on Golf Talk Canada television this week as well. And then, of course, Thursday morning, it all kicks off. Full coverage of the Masters, myself and Lindsay Hamilton in the Masters studio at the Masters desk in Toronto, James Duffy, Graham DeLette, Bob Weeks on location, Augusta National, and then Adam Scully and myself back for Masters primetime late at night. But let's start off the show with some news and some headlines.
News and headlines are brought to you by Sandbagger Hard Seltzer. Sandbagger, everybody knows one.
Get your Sandbagger now in the LCBO if you like transfusions. If you're a transfusion drinker, you'll love the Sandbagger transfusion for the golf course in the summer, so keep your eye open for that. Okay, I'm making my way home from PGA Tour live coverage. I was a host this week for the Valero Texas Open, which you saw on TSN Plus. And boy, was that hard to watch. First off, congratulations, Akshay Bhatia, with the win at the at TPC San Antonio. It's his second PGA Tour career victory, but there's a bit of an asterisk on the first win. He wasn't in the field this week at the Masters. And you're probably saying to yourself, okay, Mark, why is he not in the field? I thought a win gets you in. Well, yeah, a win normally does get you an invitation to the Masters. But it was an opposite field victory, the Barracuda Championship. That's only 300 FedEx Cup points, not the normal 500 FedEx Cup points and up. And because it's only a 300 FedEx Cup point win and an opposite field event at the Barracuda Championship, he doesn't get the invite to Augusta National. This is his first time ever winning a full field event. His second PGA Tour win, but his first full field event, his first 500 FedEx Cup point victory. And like we saw Corey Connors do a few years ago in his first win, only Corey did it as a Monday qualifier. Regardless, he stamped his ticket to Augusta. So Akshay Bhatia becoming the last player in the field, now the 89th player. It was 88 up until Sunday night, the 89th player in the field at the Masters. And pretty cool when you consider that he becomes the first player ever to participate in the Augusta National drive, chip, and putt and make their way to Augusta National to play in the Masters. So this is the first youngster, the first junior to ever come out of that initiative of the drive, chip, and putt contest, which they started about roughly 10, 12 years ago at Augusta National. This is the first time that a player who participated in that competition has qualified as an official participant of the Masters. So well done for the lefty. Watch out for Akshay now. He's kind of kicking it into a new gear. If you don't know who he is, at one point he was the number one amateur in the world, now a two-time winner on the PGA Tour. Get used to the name Akshay Bhatia. Does not tell all the story, however, because Denny McCarthy makes seven birdies in a row coming home on the back nine, shoots a record 28, 8 under par, coming home on the back nine at TPC San Antonio, the Oaks course, to force a playoff. This was supposed to be Akshay Bhatia really in a parade. We weren't supposed to have anything to watch, anything to engage with. Yet Denny McCarthy makes it almost impossible for Akshay Bhatia to shoot 28 and then to only gag it in the playoff. And it is tough to watch. I mean, it's hard not to be a fan of Denny McCarthy. It's hard to not to cheer and pull for Denny McCarthy. He's been out there now for several years, recognized as one of the best putters in the entire world. In the game of golf, it is very hard to find a better putter than Denny McCarthy. And he proved it on the 72nd green when he needed to make that 8-9 footer to force the playoff. He pours it into the heart to finish with seven in a row to even get to a playoff. And then he gets in that first playoff hole. He lays it up to a number he likes. It's just a little wedge shot around 100 yards. He lays the sod, puts it in the penalty area, rinses it in the creek, and hands the championship to Akshay Bhatia, proving once again that no matter where you are in the world, no matter how much money you throw at guys, you can't replicate the level of competition and the level of care on the PGA Tour. It's just, you cannot do it. I mean, Denny McCarthy isn't sitting there over a 100-yard shot in the middle of the fairway in a playoff thinking about how much money he's going to win. He's thinking about, oh my, I've got an opportunity finally to win my first PGA Tour event. You know, basically working his entire life for that moment, and the size of the moment was just too large for Denny McCarthy. And unfortunately, he's going to have to wait for his first PGA Tour win. It goes instead to Akshay Bhatia, who will head to Augusta. Now, someone who is not afraid of the moment, who is playing like a dominant world number one. How long has it been since we have had two dominant world number ones on both the men's game in the ladies' game? I mean, you got to go back to Lorena Ochoa, Annika Sorenstam, Tiger Woods, to find the level of dominance right now being produced from Scottie Scheffler and on the LPGA Tour, Nelly Korda. Nelly Korda wins again, her fourth in a row on the LPGA Tour. The last time a player did this, world number one, World Golf Hall of Famer, Lorena Ochoa. I mean, this is so rare. It's rare to find people who win four or five times a year on any tour, never mind doing it four in a row. And Scottie Scheffler missed the 6.5 footer just a week ago in Houston that would have forced a playoff for him to win three in a row. So it's a very interesting time in the world of golf. Sure, there will be the argument from a very small group of people that the fracture in the men's game between LIV and the PGA Tour has created an environment for Scottie Scheffler to be that dominant on the PGA Tour, that he might not be that guy if Koepka, DJ, Rahm, et cetera, were back. I say not the case. Look at the strokes gained numbers. Look at the ball striking. These are historically good ball striking numbers from Scheffler, and he will likely prove it this week when we get to Augusta. All right, speaking of Augusta, on the other side, we're going to throw it down to Augusta National. Bob Weeks, Adam Scully, the rest of the Augusta crew, going to get you set over the remainder of these next 2 hours. We're going to be back for Golf Talk Canada Television, our Masters preview show, Tuesday night from Augusta National, and then 2 hours live, TSN Radio, simulcast the TSN 2 TV Wednesday morning for our Masters preview. It is the most exciting time of the year. Enjoy the Masters. We'll head down to Georgia next. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC was presented by TaylorMade and the new QI10 Carbon Woods. Experience TaylorMade speed with the forgiveness of 10K inertia with the all-new QI10 Max. Only from TaylorMade. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Movember, the official men's health partner of Golf Talk Canada. You can get involved and help change the face of men's health by visiting Movember.com today.
Welcome back to Augusta, Georgia, here for our first Masters preview show of the week. Bob, that's never going to get old, me saying welcome back to Augusta, Georgia. I must say, Adam Scully alongside Bob Weeks. Mark Sacchino will be back Wednesday for GTC Radio on TV. Well, it is the season's first major. It is the Masters this week, and Scottie Scheffler has really separated himself, the top-ranked player in the world. Bob, you've covered this game for a long time. You saw Tiger play in his prime. Heading into this week, is there anything similar vibe-wise in terms of how far Scheffler has separated himself from the competition?
The only thing is just what you nailed there, is just how far he's separated. But he's done it in a different way. Like, Tiger was exceptionally dominant in every category and over a long period of time. And if he wasn't winning a tournament, he was, you know, top five or top 10. And I think right now it's such a small sample size for Scottie Scheffler of recent play. But his game is still has some holes in it, most notably with that putter, even though he's gotten a lot better. It's a lot, you know, ever since he switched to the Spider, he is putting a lot better. He's not putting great by any means. I wouldn't say, like, he's not holding him from everywhere. But it shows you how strong the rest of his game is. But I think the other part of this equation that you and I have talked about before, and Mark, is that the other guys, there's a lot of other guys who we consider at the top who really aren't playing that well. And you can go back and look. I mean, Rory had a nice finish at the Valero Texas Open, but prior to that, he didn't have a top 10. Patrick Cantlay, Tommy Fleetwood, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, the guys that we usually expect to be sort of nipping at whoever number one's heels are really kind of inconsistent, might be a very positive way to say it, I think. But I just think that there's, you know, it's, I think it's just too easy to say that Scottie Scheffler is so far ahead of everybody at this point. He is playing great. He is statistically ahead of everybody, but I think there's a lot of people still very much in play if you're going to think about, you know, who's going to win this tournament.
And taking a look at Scottie Scheffler, so he was last in the field in strokes gained putting at the Genesis Invitational, came T10 that week, by the way, made the putter switch, won the Arnold Palmer Invitational. He was fifth in strokes gained putting that week. He was 37th in strokes gained putting the next week at the Players' Championship, which, by the way, he won, came back in a big way. 45th in strokes gained putting at the Texas Children's Houston Open, finishes T2. Now, he's played very well at the Masters. Obviously, he won the thing in 2022, but in his other three starts, no finish worse than T20. And even if you're struggling putting, Bob, we've seen this in the past with putter or guys who aren't known as great putters who have won the Masters. You think Hideki Matsuyama, Adam Scott, Sergio Garcia. So not to take a line from Roger Maltby back in 2000, but this might not be a fair fight.
It's true. It's, you know, he's such an odds on favorite. And he is playing such great golf coming in, and he handles himself very, very well. And don't forget the year he won. He didn't think he cried the morning with his wife and said, "I don't think I'm worthy of winning this tournament." Well, he is worthy now. There's no doubt about that. And there is a lot of reasons to believe that he's going to win this tournament. But I just, for some reason, feel that this is not going to be any kind of a cakewalk or a coronation. I just feel that there's a lot of other guys who could really make a statement before we get through on Sunday. And I don't know. There's something about me that just says it's not going to be Scotty's time. But listen, I've been wrong a lot more than I've been right. So when you're trying to predict winners.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing Scottie Scheffler this week, and I'm looking forward to seeing who he's going to play with too. That's always something I really enjoy looking forward to watching. Okay, Rory McIlroy, who is looking for the career Grand Slam this week, and ever since the blow up in 2011, and since I really started working at TSN, each and every Masters, you write an essay about Rory McIlroy, and I put the visuals together, and each year. We think about the different strategies, whether he's playing a lot heading into the Masters, whether he plays 81 holes the week before the Masters, like last year. But Rory's only broken 70 twice in the first round in his career at the Masters in the first round. Do you think maybe that's the issue, getting off to a really slow start?
The slow start is one thing, and coupled with that is to look at how far behind he is after the first round. And in the last 5 years, I think the closest he has been after the first round is 6 shots back. He's had years where he's 11 shots back after the first round. So it's not even like, I think he's broken 70 twice in 15 tries here. So you look at where he is with his game. In terms of getting out of the gate, he's got great finishing kick. We've seen that a couple of years ago when he was second to Scottie Scheffler, but never really had a chance to win. When you consider Scottie Scheffler four putted the last green and still won by three, but I think that Rory's game is an interesting one to look at. He won on the DP World Tour. He hasn't done anything really until the Texas Open, third. We know that he went and took a trip out to see Butch Harmon and spent a day with him trying to figure things out. We know from that. From there, he went to TaylorMade to the Kingdom, where you and I have spent some time. He got fitted for some new irons. So he's trying everything, obviously, because he's frustrated at why he can't hit his irons well. I kind of like Rory's chances this week. This might be the most under the radar he's been coming in to this tournament in a long time. And as he said, the mistake he's made a lot in the past is coming in here thinking about winning instead of thinking about playing golf. Maybe this will be the year he's got the right formula. We'll find out soon enough on Thursday morning to see how he starts out of the gate.
Yeah, and I'm curious to see if Rory is in the mix on Sunday afternoon, how those swing changes apply. Because, as we've seen some drills he's been working on where he's trying to take the club a little more outside on the takeaway. And we've seen this in the past, whether it's Canadians or anyone, players playing too much golf swing versus just golf. But hey, Rory McIlroy looking for the career Grand Slam this week. As for the defending champion, that's Jon Rahm, who is now playing on LIV, and there are 13 LIV golfers playing in the Masters this week. If you could just pick one though, Bob, which LIV golfer do you think has the best chance to contend this week?
I think it's got to be Brooks Koepka. I think his record here is pretty spectacular. I think his determination around major championships. You can look at his performances; they're pretty mediocre on LIV, but I don't really buy a lot into that. I think his PGA Tour record was fairly similar when he was playing on here. So to me, it's just like, he has an ability to turn a switch and get into the major mode, I guess you might call it. He actually, he's won 5 majors, and he th thinks by this time he should have had a few more, including this year and in 2019 when Tiger won. He thinks he can get to 12 major championships. So I like the cockiness. I like the confidence. A couple of years ago, he wasn't in that boat. He sort of thought his career was over, and to see him come back like he did last year, and not only win the PGA Championship but also play well in a couple of other majors. So. It's hard not to think that he is going to be the leading guy amongst LIV, I think. I don't know what you think, if it's Rom or somebody else. I'm not sure.
Yeah, and in terms of players and their finishes on LIV, you look at Joaquin Niemann, who's played very well. Dustin Johnson has a win on LIV this season, but pretty much MIA other than that. For Brooks Koepka, though, I'm interested in because last year he had that lead at the Masters. He blew the lead at the Masters, and then afterwards, he wins the PGA Championship, and he said he learned something during the final round that he applied to the PGA Championship and wouldn't tell anyone. Now, I don't know if this is what it was, but he did a little thing with golf.com. It's called warming up. It's a feature where golf.com, they've done and interviewed several players where they're standing on the range and they're talking about how they warm up, what they're thinking. And the interviewer asked Brooks, what is he thinking about over the ball? And Brooks said, nothing. So you wonder that mentality, Bob, whether you're Brooks Koepka at the Masters, but because we know Rory McIlroy probably isn't going to be thinking about nothing over the ball. He's thinking about his takeaway.
Yeah, there's something to be said for that for sure. We tried to get Brooks to tell us what the Masters thing was after he won the PGA when we sat down with him to do a short interview. He wouldn't fall for it, no matter how I tried to trick him. But he obviously knows something. So whatever it is, if it is that, if it's to keep your head clear and do nothing, or if it's to play the golf course in a certain way, or I don't know. But he's obviously found out what the mistake was because he won the PGA Championship. So if he brings that in here this time around, maybe he's the guy wearing the green jacket. I like Brooks's chances. I think he's just a. I know people. He rubs some people the wrong way. I just love the guy. I think he's absolutely hilarious.
And we'll have to see how his Florida Panthers are doing the rest of the week. We'll have to look at their schedule because it's not the Stanley Cup playoffs just yet. And Brooks Koepka, he's someone I predicted would win the Masters back in our year in review series back in Christmas, the wintertime. So he is also my pick this week. Now, anytime you think of the Masters, you think of five-time champion Tiger Woods, who during Sunday's practice round was looking happy. He was smiling. He was cheerful. The last time we saw Tiger, he was face in palms, sweating, allegedly after vomiting the hole before. What on earth can we expect from Tiger, if anything, this week?
Well, we can expect him to be happy as long as he's not sick. That's the one good thing. And we sort of joke about that, but that's a big thing for Tiger. To come out here and be in his happy place and forget the score for a minute and just be around the people and playing golf in this tournament, which he loves so much and has been such a part of his life. I think that's a big first step. I mean, he hasn't really played a lot of full rounds of golf lately. So if we can get 4 rounds out of him here, I might even settle for two, to be perfectly honest with you. Having said that, Nota Begay commented this week that, and he's a old college teammate of Tiger's. He said that Tiger talked about how his foot was sore and his lower back was sore. We know that he had his foot fused, and we've talked about that before, where it can move sort of front and back, but it can't rotate a roll on it. He doesn't have a lot of move at it. You can see when he's adjusted his golf swing, and apparently his lower back, which we always sort of forget about, but that was fused as well, and that's, I guess, giving him a little bit of pain. He's a tough guy though. He plays through a lot of pain. And I think for him, just finishing 72 holes would be a huge achievement here. I sadly think the days of him getting in the hunt are probably behind us, but just to see him play 72 holes, I don't want it to be ceremonial, but I think if he can play 72 holes and have a good finish, that would be a huge week.
Well, at the end of 2023, there was more optimism when Tiger said he hoped to play one tournament a month coming up in 2024. He's back playing this week. Let's see how Tiger fares, where, the ball speed at times looked pretty good at the Genesis Invitational. When we come back here on GTC, we'll discuss the Canadians in the field this week, and we'll have our all-time Masters edition of Winners Weird and What.
This segment of GTC, presented by TaylorMade, was brought to you by Movember, the official men's health partner of Golf Talk Canada. You can get involved and help change the face of men's health by visiting Movember.com today. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories. Visit weathertech.ca.
Welcome back to our Masters preview show here on GTC, coming to you from Augusta, Georgia. Adam Scully alongside Bob Weeks. And four Canadians are in the field this week: Mike Weir, Adam Hadwin, Corey Connors, and Nick Taylor. Nick Taylor won the WM Phoenix Open back in February. However, Bob, Nick Taylor's major record is not Very good. What do you think Nick Taylor has to do to take the next step in his career and contend at a major like this week?
Yeah, he's missed a cut in the last five starts that he's had in major championships, none of which were the Masters, by the way. In that five, well, I guess maybe there was one in there, but the only one Masters he's played, by the way, was the COVID Masters, the November one. So he's never really played a real Masters. He's never had the drive down Magnolia Lane. He's never had the cheers of the crowds when he skips a ball in practice. He's never experienced what the real Masters is like. He's also coming in here as a much different player than we have seen him, I think. His confidence level is, a million times better than it was the last time he was here. His game is a lot better than it was last year. He's not afraid of the big moment either. So I don't think that there's anything that can surprise Nick or shock Nick or make him sort of fearful of what's going on. I think he's going to have a good week. He's got a good game, got a good ball striking abilities, and not Corey Connors like, but he's solid. If he and he can get away with a little bit more off the tee here. These are the, I think, third or fourth widest fairways on the PGA Tour. 50 yards wide is the average fairway here. So you can spray it a little bit, which Nick tends to do, and still get away with it. And so that might not be a bad formula for Nick Taylor, is just to kind of let's just get it out there and then play in from there.
And he's got that quiet confidence, that swagger that I think works really well in terms that he never gets too high, never gets too low. It'd be awesome to see Nick or any Canadian in the mix come Sunday afternoon. Well, since it's the Masters this week, there have been so many great moments. You did an essay on the 90 years of the Masters. The first Masters was back in 1934. So great moments to look back on. So we thought, hey, this week, let's do an all-time Masters edition of Winners, Weird, and What. All right, Bob. So this week, the tee is yours.
So what do I do? Just aim for the pond?
No, you're not supposed to hit it into the water.
But you hit it into the water.
I know I hit it into the water.
Well, why do they even have water if you're not supposed to hit it there?
Because it's fun! We're having fun!
Look, it went further than your ball!
All right, Adam. Well, my winner this week is, we're talking Canadians. It's got to be for me. It was in 2003 when Mike Weir won the Masters, and it was a pretty remarkable moment. By that time, I was still fairly young in my career, and I had followed Mike as a late last years as an amateur, but mostly as a pro on the Canadian tour. And there was a lot of people, myself included, who wondered, was this guy really going to make it to the PGA tour? And then to transfer that thought and go out and watch him on the last day at Augusta National. It was a rainy week that week, and they'd played a lot of golf on Friday, I believe it was. Had to make a lot of makeup on Friday. So coming down the last day, there was a lot of tired people. But Mike Weir was a fitness fanatic, and I think that helped him. He was still had lots of energy. And I walked around that last day for some reason with Rod Black, who was our broadcaster at that point, and Paul Coffey, formerly of the
Wow.
Edmonton Oilers. The three of us walked around. And I'll tell you something weird. There's only two times in my career of, I think this is 28 or 29 Masters. I can't remember now, but it's only two times I've ever seen the winning putt go in on the 18th green, because you have to be on air essentially right after that putt drops. So you're watching it on TV for the last holes. But I've stayed out to watch Mike win the playoff, and I stayed out to watch Tiger in 2019. We raced out there and then raced back to the set and did our show. But it was a pretty meaningful moment, even though it was sort of a flat ending, to be perfectly honest. It wasn't all that exciting. He just had a little tap in, but it was still a monumental moment. And then to see what he went through afterwards, and later at night, we were in the clubhouse, and Mike came in after having done all his duties, and there he was with this green jacket sitting right there. And it was just sort of a weird, bizarre, amazing feeling to see him doing that.
It's an iconic moment. It's where were you when I was 11. I was 11 years old when that happened, and we had family over, and it was Mike Weir's won the Masters. Oh my goodness. So that's something, and Mike Weir has inspired an entire generation of Canadian golfers. This was a real moment that changed the landscape of golf in Canada.
It was indeed, and you were 11. You're making me feel old, which I am. But anyway, my weird this week was the six putt that Ernie Els made
Oh,
on the
yeah.
first. It has to be the most unusual thing I've ever seen. Now, Ernie Els had a sort of a habit, not a habit, a very rare habit of some bizarre shots and some bizarre things that happened. I mean, he was an amazing player, beautiful golf swing, still is an amazing player. I love his golf swing. And he's got perhaps the biggest hands I've ever met, other than his father. I shook hands with his father and I thought I was like a little kid. Anyway, how he ever managed to hit six in a row, and he just never even came close on the first five. Like they weren't even, lipping out. It was the strangest thing to watch. And I had a chance to chat with him afterwards a couple of weeks later about it. And he said, yeah, like, I don't know. It was like something took over my body and I just did this. And it was the weirdest thing I'd ever seen. Anyway, that was the weirdest Masters moment I've ever seen.
Well, and it happened on his first hole of the tournament. Like,
Yeah,
imagine this hat.
exactly.
Like, your tournament's over at that point, basically.
That's, yeah, well, hey, listen, Jon Rahm only four putted last year and he ended up winning. So
That's
there is
right.
something there. And then my what happened? This is the question I have to ask. What happened to Greg Norman when he collapsed
Oh.
to lose the Masters with a 6-shot lead on Sunday going in, and he lost it to Nick Faldo, and it was perhaps one of the strangest final 18th hole. When you shake hands with the winner and everything, and Nick Faldo came over and almost looked like he was sorry for what had happened. And Greg Norman, I think, really got to the first tee on Sunday and thought, I've got a green jacket, I'm going to win this for life, and just never got himself out of that mold. And once the bottom fell out, man, he started falling, and he started falling fast. It was really hard to watch. I don't know if you saw that one, but Adam, or you've seen the highlights, but it really was painful to watch it.
It really was. And a couple of years ago, ESPN did a really cool feature on the shark, and they actually had Greg Norman hitting shots like on the ninth hole. He was hitting shots during this feature. I'm trying to think what the feature was actually called. I know we aired it on TSN, but this is one of the greatest collapses, Bob, in Masters history.
Nothing reminds it. All right, Adam, the tee is yours.
348 footer.
Oh!
Oh man, that is sweet. All right, Bob, thank you. So you mentioned you were there in person 2019. You guys walked quickly out of your studio to go see Tiger Woods win in 2019. The comeback story to come back from everything that has happened, that had happened to him at the time, 11 years between major championship victories, everything that went into that final round two with four other players in the mix hitting it into the water on 12. What were your fondest recollection, I guess, Bob, from seeing that with your own eyes in 2019?
It was kind of the way the story unfolded as they were going along, and when Molinari hit the ball in the water on 12, and then one by one these guys started falling off, and you were just thinking, this is going to happen. Like, I remember maybe about after 16, I guess, you just think, yeah, this is really going to happen. And that's kind of this weird cloud, because you never expected Tiger, as good as he is, you never expected him to win again. But it just shows you what a career he's had. But that was the feeling, was just gradually watching this hole by hole, how he just kept going through the middle and everybody else just kept peeling off and falling into the rough.
And the humanizing moment too. I mean, we saw Tiger. He's had some embarrassing moments off the golf course too, but to come back and battle through injury and everything, and that yell, that elation afterwards that he won, that was something that I will never forget as both someone who covers the game and quite frankly as a fan too. So that was certainly awesome. Now, my weird was something that happened also in the 2019 Masters. However, it happened in the second round, and that was when Zach Johnson teed up his ball on the 13th tee. And for his entire career, Zach Johnson's been someone who takes a practice swing pretty close to his ball, like really close to his ball. And on this particular occasion, Bob, well, it was too close to his ball because he hit his driver, hit the ball. It was in a practice swing, so the ball went directly sideways, hit the tee marker, bounced about 4 yards ahead. Zach Johnson swore. We never really hear Zach Johnson swear at all. And they sort of, he was playing, I believe, with Ian Poulter, and they looked at each other and said, now what do we do? But because it wasn't deemed an actually, it was a practice swing, didn't or was not actually a penalty. And the weird thing too about this, Bob, this has happened two or three other times for Zach Johnson. So maybe just take your practice swing further away from the ball. What do you think?
Yeah, that's Right? It's a pretty easy solution to the problem, isn't it? Like take a half a step back. Yeah, because there was no intent to actually hit the ball, even though we did, there was no penalty. But you're right. I think after you do it once, you kind of change your pre-shot routine a little bit. If it seemed to be a pretty easy solution.
I know, just such a weird thing, but hey, Zach Johnson, he won the Masters back in the day, won the Open Championship too, but that was just a bizarre moment. And what a way to win your first major championship. In 2022, Scottie Scheffler looked unflappable through 71 holes. He walked up to the 72nd hole, the 18th hole at Augusta National, tough tee shot, hits the green into on a par four, and he's walking up the 18th hole, and you can tell him and caddy Ted Scott, well, they're enjoying themselves. Hey, we're gonna win the Masters. Ted Scott's going to win the Masters as a caddy for the third time. Scottie Scheffler has about a 35, 40 footer, two putt, no problem. Come on, that's easy, right? Okay, misses it. He's got about 3.5 feet. Jim Nantz is prepping the call. Scottie Scheffler about to win for the fourth time in 42 days. Misses the putt. So now he's got about a foot and a half, maybe 2 feet, right? He's going to tap it in, right? Nah, he missed that one too. So Scottie Scheffler at this point, he starts laughing and the crowd starts cheering for him as if like they're almost like he was definitely embarrassed. The crowd was both shocked and it was such a weird that this could have been my weird, could have been my winner, could have been my what? What do you remember most about this moment, Bob?
Yeah, it was just the bizarre finish. I think he was a little embarrassed by it. I remember his press conference after he was pretty sheepish in talking about it and how it had fallen apart. I mean, thank goodness that wasn't I mean, I think he would have paid a little more attention on the last two if it would have been something that where he was going to lose or even go into a playoff or something. But it was still kind of an embarrassing way to finish the golf tournament and get a green jacket.
Yeah, it was wild, but hey, Scottie Scheffler has a really good chance this week to win the green jacket for the second time, and if he does, maybe just a casual two-putt tap in this week on the 72nd hole. We shall see. Well, Bob, it's a really busy time for us here in Augusta, both being here in Augusta. I love saying that, so I'm just going to keep saying that. So thanks so much for your time today, Bob. We're going to be out in the course later this afternoon, Monday. Looking forward to that, but thanks for your time today, my friend.
Can't wait to walk around Augusta National with you, Adam. Can't wait to see the smile on your face.
It's kind of like it is right now. Okay, GTC continues next.
This segment of GTC, presented by TaylorMade, was brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Play Golf Myrtle Beach, home to 80 great courses, 60 miles of sandy shores, endless dining and entertainment. Visit playgolfmyrtlebeach.com to start planning your golf trip today.
Welcome back inside GTC. Adam Scully here from Augusta, Georgia. We'll get back to the Masters as we kick off hour two. But to wrap up hour one, I had the chance to host the Adidas Golf Industry Night last week. Really appreciate everyone who came out and the kind words from an amazing event. And for much more on all things Adidas Golf in 2024, because they have a really cool story, I had a chance to catch up with Jeff Leinart from Adidas. Well, Jeff, great to be here. This is a special year for Adidas in terms of the anniversary. Why don't you tell our viewers and listeners how long Adidas has been around now?
Well, Adidas as a company has been
Yeah.
around 75
Yeah.
years. So celebrating our 75th year yeah, it's going to be an incredible year. And obviously within Adidas Golf, we're celebrating an anniversary as well, or close to it. So we're looking forward to that.
And of course, we're here for the new shoe launch, the Tour
Yes.
360 24 for you. What's your excitement level about the shoe?
I think in my 9 years of experience with Adidas Golf and the role that I'm in, more work has gone into this shoe and perfecting it before it hits market than any other shoe before it. So there's obviously a long history and heritage with the Tour 360 and what it represents, but the new Tour 360 packages the best of everything that came before it, as well as everything that we have available to us today within the technology arsenal of Adidas.
Yeah, there's so much great technology jam-packed in this shoe. But what's a week like this like for you? We have all the media here,
The star players are out doing a couple of shoots and testing the shoes. What's this week like for you?
It's a week of connection, and whether it's connection with the industry through meeting people like yourself, or you know, spending time with our athletes and hearing the direct feedback from them, or just casually being able to spend time with the team, and not in a meeting setting in Carlsbad, is a lot of fun. You get a lot out of it, and it's very rewarding.
Now we're here recording in early 2024, but if you look at the outlook for the year that is, what are some of your goals for Diaz Golf in 2024?
Well, one goal is always growth. So we're always looking, you know, we're a competitive organization. We're always looking to gain market share. We're always looking to grow the business. And I'm looking forward to both in apparel, footwear, and actually accessories as well, a great year around the world. We have almost 400 people around the world dedicated to the game of golf. And it's just great to see all of us sort of thriving in the game that we have a passion for. And so seeing everyone succeed, seeing people over the last several months develop their strategies and their game plans, and then seeing them go out and execute them, that's the reward for me and what I'm looking forward to.
Now, a couple of years ago, I'm going to read this. He said, our mission for our brand is to be the most progressive golf brand in the world. A couple of years later, how's that going?
It's going well. So, you would have heard me more recently say that we want to be the best sports brand in the world, which is really the mission of Adidas overall. Mm-hmm. We're now laddering up to that, obviously looking at it through the three pillars of credibility, inclusivity, and sustainability. But the way that we approach those three areas, you know, credibility, culture credibility, and sport credibility, inclusivity, making sure that everyone feels they have a place in this game, and sustainability, the way that we build our products and the materials that we put into our products, the way we approach those is through a progressive lens, always trying to push the boundaries, always trying to improve. Being progressive is still very much an element of who we are and what we want to represent. But being the very best, being the best sports brand in the world is clearly our mission of today.
And being the best sports brand in the world means you have to have some great athletes, of course, wearing the apparel and product. Take us behind the curtain. How do you guys go about the decision making to say we want to go out and try to sign player X from whatever sport?
Yeah, it's really ensuring that you are finding the athlete that that best marries with who we are as a brand, what our culture is, and really our value system more than anything. We've been very fortunate in the game of golf. We have a great sports marketing team that connects with these athletes, and we have, you know, around the world we have relationships with a lot of the junior golf associations. So it gives us access to these individuals as they're really developing as golfers and as young men and women, and we get to know them early on, and over a period of time, years, we get to determine whether they're going to be a good fit for us. And so Ludvig Åberg is a great example of a young man who we've known for a long time. He just turned pro this past year. But he is an incredible ambassador for the brand, a great fit for the brand. Having not spent a ton of time with him myself, over the last couple of days I've been able to, and just his professionalism is off the charts good. So happy to have him with us, and look forward to his future. But obviously I could speak to every one of our athletes in that way.
Now, we spent a lot of time here talking about the apparel, the footwear, the athletes. But for you personally, what's your favorite part about your role with Adidas Golf?
It would really be two things. Product creation, mm-hmm. I love. I love seeing things like Tour 360 over 24 months get from a sketch stage, well, ideation, which is just like talking about what we want it to become and what our philosophies are around that product, to the point where we're ready to deliver it to market. The next piece I would tell you is just, we're a sports athletic company, very much team oriented, and I still feel like I'm on the, you know, playing hockey and I'm on the bench, you know, with the team wearing the C and seeing a team thrive. And so this is, you know, we have all these individuals around the world dedicated to golf, and this is very much a team sport for us, and we jump on the ice ready to win.
Well, it's been a great week here and so much exciting stuff coming with Adidas in 2024. Jeff, thanks for your time today.
Thank you.
Many thanks to Jeff for joining me. Okay, that wraps up hour one here on GTC. Hour two is coming up next as we continue to preview the Masters.
This segment of GTC, presented by TaylorMade, was brought to you by Play Golf Myrtle Beach. the golf capital of the world. Thank you for listening to Hour 1 of GTC. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Golf Talk Canada and subscribe to our YouTube channel. For show archives, podcasts, and all things GTC, visit golftalkcanada.com. And don't miss Golf Talk Canada Television, weekly on the TSN Television Network. This is Hour 2 of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. For over 18 years, our focus has been on helping Canadians stay invested in all market conditions, including this one. Why Picton Mahoney? Visit PictonMahoney.com. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino, Bob Weeks, and Adam Scully.
Welcome back inside Golf Talk Canada, our first Masters preview show of the week, our first of many. So fun to be here in Augusta for the Masters this year. Now joining us, TSN golf producer extraordinaire, all things golf, CFL The Works, Jamie Riddle. Jamie, what is happening, my man?
What's happening, Scully? Augusta is great, right? It's Masters week.
It certainly is, and I mean, you've been here a number of years now. How many years is this for you at the Masters?
This will be number 21.
Wow.
Every year since 04. The year after Wiersey won is me. So it's, crazy, right? 21 years. It's amazing.
Unbelievable.
Love it every day.
Yeah, love it every day for sure. And so the year after Wiersey won, so can you remember what your emotions, what your feelings were like when you stepped on the grounds for the first time?
Well, we were, so that year, because Mike had won, we were granted early access to the course. So we came down the Wednesday before the week, and we were able to shoot all on the course. So we got to walk everywhere, but, you know, across Hogan Bridge onto the 12, 13. We shot every hole that we could, getting as many great shots of this beautiful course as we could. And we got to shoot in the Champions locker room. So that was really cool. Like being out on the balcony of the Champions locker room and shooting down Magnolia Lane is just gorgeous. So I was very fortunate that my first time I was walking all over the place at this course. And that was because, you know, as Canadian rights holders, we were given that opportunity for this extra stuff because of Mike's win the previous year. So, you know, it's amazing when they say everything's perfect here, it is. You know, if the water, I remember we were shooting on 13 and they thought the water was too low. And they're like, do you mind if you just take these shots again and we'll fill up, we'll get the water a little bit higher. And they go and do it. Guys were trimming the bunkers around the bunkers, the grass around the bunkers with scissors. It's such everything is done to perfection here. And that's why it looks so perfect.
Yeah, that's why it looks so perfect. And as you know, I've seen a couple of holes so far. And I mean, for me, the first impression looking down the first hole, which
right.
On television, it's hard to tell the undulation, but I could see a couple of the players during their practice round when they would walk off the first tee and then walk back up the first fairway. Man, there's a lot of undulation even on the first hole. And then you look at the 10th hole too. That's another one I got to see with my own eyes for the first time. The amount of right to left on the 10th hole and the slope it essentially is, it's unbelievable.
Uphill downhill is nuts here, and everything on the greens, like you don't really see it on television, the slope on the greens. When you get here in person and you first see it, you're just like, damn, there are such small areas to land these balls, and if you don't know what's going to happen on the greens on these landing areas, you're in a heck of a lot of trouble, because you're going to put yourself on the bad side of the hole. And you're going to end up three putting, because it is just that difficult, because there's so much slope there's really no, there's very few straight putts at Augusta, and there's very few flat lies at Augusta too. Looking into that slope out on the fairways, it's nuts, and it's just, you know, we all know this, we all know this course because we've been around it for so many years. It's the same thing every year, and now they show it more and more every hole now with all the feeds that come in. It's a special place, and you know, I always love hearing stories like yours, Skull, where you're here now for the first time, and you know, just what your perception of what the course is with your own two eyes, instead of just seeing it on a television set. And that's the real value in Augusta National, is when people come down here and see that for the first time.
Yeah. And as you know, I've seen bits of four holes with my own eyes. I could see a little bit of Amen Corner,
right,
you know, many, many, many yards away. So I'm looking forward to walking the full course and all of my full perspective on the golf course when I'm back in Toronto for Golf Talk Canada Radio to TV on Wednesday. Now, whenever people come to the Masters, there are traditions, of course, and one of those is the food that is here. There's the egg salad sandwiches. There's the pimento cheese. For you, if you had to eat one of them right now, which one would it be?
It's egg salad, easily. When I came at 04, I had one pimento cheese sandwich, and that was it for me. That's all I needed. I've always been an egg salad fan. Now they have chicken salad now, which you need to try if you like that. It's excellent. But the egg salad, hands down for me, is much better than the pimento.
Well, you know, it's so funny because I enjoyed an egg salad sandwich when we arrived here Saturday afternoon, and then we're recording this on Sunday. I had a pimento cheese, and I heard some mixed reviews, we'll call it that, and maybe it's the weird former goalie in me. I like the pimento cheese more. I don't know, man. It's something that there was a little spice in there, a little kick to it. I like the pimento cheese.
It's basically queso on bread. Right? Like, really, it's basically queso on bread. And I'm not a big queso guy. So I am all in on the egg salad, always have been. But like here, I don't get, like, the egg salad's so smooth. It's crazy. Like, whatever they do to these, I've made egg salad. My mom's made egg salad for me. You just don't get it that smooth like they do down here.
No. It was, not sure if I'm going to have another one, but anyway, I've had pimento cheese. I've had the egg salad, chicken salad's next, and there's many others to go, but I'm looking forward to getting back on the grounds at Augusta National. But speaking of the Masters, there's a lot of huge storylines heading into the tournament this year, and Scottie Scheffler has separated himself amongst the rest of the competition. My question to you is, how far has he separated himself from the rest of the field right now?
It's pretty far, I think, right? Like, you know, so I go back to his last tournament, and he didn't really hit the ball that great. But as long as he putts in a positive strokes gained, he's going to be fine. It was his CD game that he had everywhere else, and he still finished runner up. So that's how far ahead he is. It's all about the putter. If he comes to Augusta and he gets behind on strokes gained putting, he's not going to do well. It doesn't matter how well he hits it. But if he can just stay even or a little bit positive, he's very difficult to beat. And this year, I'm not knocking LIV here, but we really don't know how the LIV guys are going to perform, because they played early. Then they had about a 3 or 4 week break, and they just played this weekend in Miami. So who knows? Who knows? You know, I expect Brooks Koepka, you know, Cam Smith withdrew, so who knows? But those are the ones. Scottie Scheffler has separated himself from the guys on the PGA Tour. We'll see how far he's separated from the LIV guys when we get here. But again, when you're first in every strokes gained category except putting, you know, especially the ball striking ones, pretty hard to beat.
Pretty hard to beat. And we had a conversation Bob and I did on SportsCenter last Tuesday, and I asked him the question, is Scottie Scheffler the biggest favorite at the Masters since Tiger Woods in his prime? Do you think that's the case right now?
Agree. I think even though, you know, you've had Rory and you've had DJ who've gone through their stretches of brilliance, I think this one is just, you know, I mean, we said it about Rory before too, in the past. where he has the ball striking numbers are crazy. His iron game is great. His drive, he's the, probably one of the best drivers of the ball in the game. But if he doesn't do well on the putting greens, you know, if he just did half better than what he does, he'd be unstoppable. And, you know, now Rory's kind of struggling with where he's hitting the ball. But, like, that's the thing. Scotty has, since he went to the mallet, he seemed to have figured it out.
Yeah.
So, but we'll see. Like, again, Augusta's greens are different animals than some of the others on tour. And, but you know he's going to hit it to the right spots. That's the thing. Like, he's so in control of his ball in his approach and everything that, and, you know, I think when I was talking to Weeksy earlier last week, the data golf guys say this is, these are the third widest fairways on the PGA Tour at Augusta. So even if Scotty's a little off with the driver, it doesn't really matter. He'll be able to recover. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's the heavy favorite for a reason. It's because he's first, second in the last three starts. And it seems like he never shoots over par. I think it's once this year, once since like the Open last year.
Yeah.
It's just crazy what he's doing right now. And yeah, so yeah, I think he is the biggest favorite since Tiger Woods.
Yeah, it was almost fluke-like too when he three-putted from about 4 feet in the second right. round of the Texas Children's Houston Open to break that 28 consecutive rounds of par or better on the PGA Tour. Pretty wild to think for Scottie Scheffler. Now, you mentioned Rory McIlroy, and a lot of talk early last week about working with Butch Harmon. Rory was on Happy Hour with Smiley Kaufman on Golf Channel's coverage on Friday during the second round mm-hmm. in Texas, and they showed like a side-by-side of Rory's swing. Do you think it's kind of weird, interesting, different that Rory's gone to Butch Harmon this late before the Masters, which we know is so important to Rory McIlroy?
Yeah, but when he talked about it and he mentioned that he goes to Butch every few years. So I guess it's just going to him. He's struggling, right? Like, we know he's struggling. He did well when he was over in Europe. Mm-hmm. And since he's come over to the US to play on the PGA Tour, he has not done well. He's had poor results. Now he's been decent in Texas in his little tune-up.
Yep.
And he'll have a decent finish. He won't win, but he'll have a decent finish. And I just think that he needs something, some idea. And maybe it's just a little thing that just, because it's, again, we're talking about Rory McIlroy. If it's one thing that he can clean up, maybe that's the secret to getting his game back in shape. And then he can make a run here, because I think eventually he's going to take one of these Masters. You have to think. Like, he's just such a good player. And, you know, I'm hoping he does it. Like, I'm pulling for him. We need somebody else with the career Grand Slam. You know, we got a few guys that might be able to do it in Scheffler and Brooksy. You know, I don't know. I don't know if it's in the cards for DJ to get a couple more mm-hmm. different ones, but there are some guys here that have a chance, and Rory's the closest. Jordan Spieth still got a chance at the PGA.
Yeah.
So you eventually think that how he's been snake bitten at this course, that he needs to start well. He hasn't started well here. Weeksy's going to have a stat during the week when we talk about Rory, about how far behind he is after the first round in the last few tournaments. And yeah, he usually comes back to finish in the top 10, but he needs to start well. A couple under par, just shoot 70. 70 should be the goal, and he should be right there. He won't be 7-8 shots back. He'll be 3 or 4 maybe. And then we'll see what he does, because second round on, he's great here.
Well, and looking at Rory McIlroy at the Masters, he has only shot in the 60s twice in the first
That's
round
right.
at the Masters, the last time
That's right.
being 2018, where he finished T5 to one Patrick Reed. And in 2011, we all know what happened in 2011. Rory McIlroy mm-hmm. held a big lead heading into the final round and shot 80, went 70-80 on the weekend. I'm looking for big things for Rory this week at the Masters. Now, for us here in Canada, we have four Canucks in the field this week. 03 champion Mike Weir, Adam Hadwin, Corey Connors, Nick Taylor. And Nick Taylor's coming in playing the best of the Canadians. He has a win yep. a couple of months ago at the WM Phoenix Open. But his major results haven't been outstanding. What do you think Nick Taylor has to do to take the next step in his career?
It'll be interesting for him, but he seems to be able to handle the moments late at some tournaments. So you would think that he would be able to do that here at a major. It just hasn't worked out that way at all. He hasn't played here since the COVID year, so he won't have had fans around him at Augusta National. He will have a lot of fans around him at Augusta National. Maybe that is enough to spark him, but you're right. He's playing the best out of all of them. You know, I thought Corey was trending for a bit there at the in Valero, but, you know, again, he just kind of, he wasn't, you know, he missed so many fairways in Texas that that's a concern, because that's usually bread and butter for Corey. So I think Nick could have a sneaky good tournament here. I think he's hitting it great. He's putting. He seems to have nice pace on the greens from when we watch him. You know, he really, you know, until a horrible Saturday at the Players, he was right there. So I think he has the acumen to be there in those big tournaments. It's just a matter of, you know, you just got to do it once and then maybe it explodes. But I look at Nick to have a big week this year. I think he's the Canadian to watch.
And how about Adam Hadwin? Because, you know, he's someone who watched four different Canadians win on the PGA Tour last season. He's a guy who has played on the International President's Cup team a couple of times. We know the President's Cup is coming up later this year. We know the Olympics is coming up later this year. You got to think he's motivated to play well, being back at the Masters this week. And hey, his last start was a T5 at the Valspar Championship.
That's right. And he hadn't really played well. He played well early in the year. You know, the Players, I remember him at the Players. We were following him in the practice rounds and just didn't seem comfortable. He was talking to his caddy a lot. And he admitted it. He said he doesn't really know what's going on with his game. Hopefully the Valspar is what we see. Hopefully that's the game we see from Adam. And that, because again, if he's putting well, you put well at Augusta. You know, you don't have to be the best driver of the ball at Augusta National. You just got to hit the right spots on the greens and be able to make five footers for par. That's the key. The lag putting at Augusta is the hardest there is out there. And, you know, you'd think that plays right into Hattie's strengths. So these guys, it's amazing how the I like watching the Paris rankings for the Olympics, because it's changed so much over the year, since they started keeping track, I think last summer.
Yeah.
To now it's Nick and Hadwin now, but it was Corey was in there. Mac was in there early and hasn't been back, but it's been a flip. I think Nick's probably a lock, and then it's between Corey and Adam and Mac to get in there, but Mac hasn't been able to make it in. So that's these weeks for Adam Hadwin are massive, because he's in there, Max not. So these go towards President's Cup, goes towards the Olympics. These are huge for him. And again, these guys want to stay in that top 50 to get into signature events going forward.
Yeah, and that's where a lot of money is too. And speaking of money, that's someone where, you know, Tiger Woods has brought a lot of money to a lot of players' pockets throughout the world of golf. And Tiger back playing this week at the Masters. We haven't seen Tiger since he was carted off at the Genesis Invitational with the flu, we think, or some sort of illness. It's hard to have any expectations for Tiger this week, but what are you looking for from Mr. Woods this week?
I hope he can get the cut record, consecutive cut record. So I hope he can make the cut. He probably will. It doesn't seem to matter how he's playing or what form he's coming in with here at Tiger Woods with Augusta. He seems to just do enough to at least make the cut. You know, I know from Noda Begay's comments that he put out there that they're working on his recovery from walking 18 holes and get ready for the next day. We'll see. We don't know. I have no clue how Tiger's going to hit it. But if there's any place he could come and win, it's here. Because I really do believe if he's going to win another major, it's only here. I don't know if he could do it anywhere else. And, you know, 2019 was 5 years ago. And here we come again. And, yeah, I don't think he wins. I don't think anybody does. But I hope he has a good showing. Like, I hope he can play four rounds here. Because then you never know what happens the rest of the year. But just having Tiger in the tournament brings a different buzz. Doesn't matter if he hasn't played in a month or 2 months or 3 months, or he's played four or five times in the last month or two. He just brings a different buzz to the tournament.
Well, you've done now 21 of these Masters here. Mm-hmm. When you hear a roar and you hear a Tiger roar, how big of a difference is that?
You know exactly where Tiger Woods is on the course. It doesn't matter where you stand here. That's a great thing about this place is you could hear, you know exactly what's going on. I could be behind the sixth green and I could hear out of my, and looking back at the tee, the elevated tee, and I could hear out of my left ear and I know that there's something happening on the eighth green, or I know there's something happening at Amen Corner. That's the great thing about this place is when you've been here as long as I have, you know exactly what's going on when you're on the course.
Yeah.
And the patrons do too, no matter what. You know, oh, that's Tiger's over there. You know exactly where people are because people are following Tiger. So it's his roars are just different. They're bigger.
Yeah.
For sure. No matter what, because I think people at this stage of his career want to try and will him to one more great moment like we got in 2019. And who knows? I don't expect it, but it'd be cool to see it again 5 years after the last time.
Yeah, it would be amazing to see somehow if he was down the stretch come Sunday afternoon in the mix to win the green jacket. That would certainly be unbelievable. Now, a couple of quick ones before we wrap here. Every Masters since 2004. What's your favorite thing about coming to this golf tournament?
It's just the I never get sick of it. It's crazy to say that. Like 21, you think, but I never do. It's always my favorite week. And we don't get to do it as much anymore because we do more television. But one of the best things is when you're – one of the best things we used to be able to do is on Thursday when they do the ceremonial tee, we used to be able to get on the course earlier than anybody else. You're by yourself. The tournament's about to start, and you're just kind of walking up the hills. The sun's coming up the pines. Like that Thursday morning when the sun's rising over the pines and you know there's action happening – is the best feeling just to be out on the course and out amongst all the crazy. Like it's, you know, we get treated very well here and we have a beautiful studio that we've worked at for 21 years to get. And the fact that they've trusted us with this privilege to have a studio like that and bring golf to people in Canada, more golf than most places get on television. Is fantastic. And it's my favorite tournament of the year. It always will be. I don't ever want to stop coming. It's just weird how we have a great crew that you know well, Scully. And it's just a fun tournament to do. We work a lot, but it doesn't matter because we just have a blast doing it. And it's just, you know, everything about the course. I think that's why it's so special because we've kind of grown up with this course too.
We certainly have, and we know a lot about this course, and you might know a little more about this course because, hey, you got to play this course. What year
I
was
did.
That, Jamie? What year was that?
That
did
was
you
20.
Draw?
That was 2010 when Mickelson won, and one of my buddies, Buffy, Sean Cameron, Rubber Boots Podcast, we played together.
I didn't know you played together.
Yeah.
Oh.
So that was really cool moment because, you know, it's cool just to play Augusta. It was a beautiful day. We all hit all of our group. You stand on that first tee and you're nervous. Like we played with a guy, an Italian guy that was on the European tour for a bit who shot 73 with 17 pars and a bogey. And then another, Shane O'Donoghue, who's a golf commentator. And then me and Puffy, and these two guys stripe it down the middle. So then I did, and I have rental clubs too. I didn't have any clubs, so I had clubs that I borrowed from our house, from the house, the guy that we rent our house from.
Yeah.
And then Puffy had the dubious task of hitting last, and he striped it. So we all hit our drives perfectly down the middle, and then it didn't matter. I shot 93. I was pretty happy with that
for
my game, and it was so fun. My caddy was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Half the time I didn't know what club I was hitting. He'd just say, hit it like this. As if he trusted me to hit it exactly how he thought about it. Like that wasn't always going to happen, but it's just a fun course to play. We had a beautiful day. I really actually would like to do it again. I can go back on the draw. I haven't since 2010, So, but another quick story.
Yeah, please.
So 2010's when Phil won, he hit the shot on 13 under the trees. I was actually right there. I was right there. And my caddy would not let me hit that shot.
What?
I wanted to go for it. He goes, no. Here's your wedge. And he made me hit it. He made me wedge it out. And probably the smart thing to do, but you want to try, right?
Oops.
But I ended up laying up. I hit a wedge that just rolled on the, again, you talk about being on the wrong side of the hole. If I would have hit it like a foot more right, it would have been right by the hole for a birdie instead of going back down the hill and they make a par. So my claim to fame is I was bogey on 11, par 12, par 13. So amen corner, I was one over. Pretty happy about that.
As you should be. Well, hey, I really enjoyed that story and really enjoyed your perspective here, talking about your experience at the Masters. Jamie, thanks so much for your time today and looking forward to spending some time with you this week at Augusta National.
Course, man, anytime. And it's, right now you've only seen a bit of it, but once you see all of it, you'll understand how special of a place this is.
Yeah, I'm so excited to be back tomorrow as well. Okay, Golf Talk Canada continues next.
This segment of GTC was presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. For over 18 years, our focus has been on helping Canadians stay invested in all market conditions, including this one. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Cobble Beach, Georgian Bay's extraordinary waterfront golf resort community. To learn more about their award-winning golf course and growing community, visit cobblebeach.com today.
Welcome back inside GTC from Augusta. I'm Adam Scully. Many thanks to Jamie Rydell for joining us here on the show. Loved his perspective and that story about playing Augusta National in 2010, trying to attempt the Phil shot the day after Phil hit the Phil shot from the pine straw. I absolutely love that story. And 93, that's a pretty good score too. So many thanks again to Jamie Rydell for joining us here on Golf Talk Canada. Well, coming up a little later in the show, we'll tell you when you can watch our television preview show throughout the week on TSN. But coming up in our next segment, 20 weeks of TaylorMade. It is back in 2024. And this week, we're giving away three major prizes. We're going to learn all about one of those prizes, the new TaylorMade TP5 and 5X golf balls, next, right here on Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by Cobble Beach, Georgian Bay's extraordinary waterfront golf resort community. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Cadillac and the all-electric vehicles that get you in the game. From Lyriq to the first-ever Escalade IQ, there will be a Cadillac EV icon for you.
Welcome back inside Golf Talk Canada here from Augusta, Georgia. Adam Scully with you today. Okay, 20 weeks of TaylorMade is back in 2024. To kick things off, we have three different major prizes we are giving away this week. We're giving away a set of the TaylorMade P700 series of irons. We're also giving away a limited edition Master Staff Bag that Team TaylorMade is using this week at the Masters, and 6 dozen TaylorMade TP5X golf balls. That could be golf balls for your season, maybe for the rest of your life, maybe for the first month of your golf season. Who knows? But 6 dozen TaylorMade TP5X golf balls. Three great prizes we are giving away to kick things off for 20 weeks of TaylorMade in 2024. Now, the golf ball story. Well, it's a really cool story from TaylorMade in 2024. People are seeing half a club longer with their irons with this new golf ball, and that's touring professional. So just imagine what you
could be gaining using this new golf ball, jam-packed with technology to help with distance, control around the greens too. So since we're giving away 6 dozen of these golf balls to kick off 20 weeks of TaylorMade as a part of the 3 prizes we are giving away this week, we thought we'd give you the inside scoop. Here is much more on the new TaylorMade TP5 and 5X golf balls with TaylorMade's Mike Fox.
Oh, it's fantastic being back, Scully. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. So we'll get into the complete golf ball story in 2024 because it is a spicy one, to say the least. But just generally, overall, how much detail goes into the making of any TaylorMade golf ball?
Details is a perfect word. I mean, the lead time on developing golf balls is upwards of 6 or 7 years when you start talking about dimple patterns. I mean, it is as long lead time as anything we do. But then when you take into material creation, I mean, it's pushing 10 years. You just think about creating a raw material like Speedwrap Core, which is a core additive for us. I mean, that's something we've been working on with our chemists and our advanced research team and our material suppliers, because you have to basically create new chemical properties that haven't been used before in golf, develop them, make sure you can manufacture them, test them, and then building them into an industrialization phase takes forever. But in addition to that, flight testing with new dimple patterns is just as complicated. Trying to create new dimple patterns takes years and years. And then once you eventually create it, you have to then create 5,000 tools. And I know you had the pleasure of being in our factory down there. We have thousands of tools that have the design of our dimple pattern in it that we ship all over the world to all of our TaylorMade facilities. And it takes years to develop the dimple pattern. And it takes almost a year just to create all the metal tools that we inject the urethane into to then press the cavities together to make those golf balls. So those are just two components, and we haven't even gotten to the 5 layers that exist within the golf ball yet. And all the feedback goes back and forth with our tour players and our testing groups. The details are a lot. I mean, we're testing hundreds of thousands of shots in the creation of a golf ball, indoors, outdoors, and what we have the most advanced testing facility and driving range in the world. It is details is a good way of putting it, because there is an infinite amount of them.
Yeah, you mentioned the golf ball plant in South Carolina, and that was such a cool experience. And I know our viewers and listeners are really going to enjoy the ball tour that we are giving them on this show. Now, obviously, TaylorMade TP5, TP5X, that was a great success story for years on all levels of professional golf. And the golf ball this year, it's just gotten better in so many ways. Tell us about the technologies behind the new TaylorMade TP5 and 5X.
Yeah, so the first thing on the TP5 and 5X, we want everyone to know, is this ball's long. I mean, this thing goes forever, and I know you got to experience that firsthand as well. That's really what we stood for a long time, is uncompromised distance, but still incredible greenside spin. That's what 5 layers allows us to do, and these new golf balls do that more than it ever has before, and that's why all the golfers we're seeing starting to switch into it on the tour player perspective, and there's been so much buzz built up in the marketplace waiting for it to come out. So if you're someone that likes hitting it far, it's definitely the golf ball to take a look at. So that's really the first piece, is we wanted to kind of get that championship belt back, is having that longest product out there. And from a technology standpoint, we didn't want to do that by sacrificing feel. We know that feel is as important to golfers as anything. And we've had longer products before that we hadn't launched because the feel just wasn't a level where the golfer was worth picking up that extra distance for. And that material that I talked about before, which our Speedwrap Core, allowed us to control the sound of the new TP5 and 5X to create faster constructions and longer golf balls, but at lower audible hertz, so better feel than we've had before. So again, longer, faster product, but at softer feels than we've had in the past for both the TP5 and 5X. And again, that's that. I know it sounds simple, but we've never truly fully decoupled distance and speed worth as feel and sound. And we've always kind of done little things like, oh, maybe like a little thicker cover, we can maybe make it sound a little softer, feel a little softer. And that does a little bit, but doesn't truly decouple the two. This new Speedwrap Core, this new core additive, truly allows us to control sound like we've never had before, to give you that better feel and that softer feel, but at those faster speeds. So it doesn't negatively hurt it. And that's really what's special about these new products, is all that distance I talked about is there, but it's now at a softer feel than we've ever had before.
Yeah, so you mentioned Speedwrap, and many might, think of P790 and speed foam, And those two can be comparable, correct?
Yeah, it's a fantastic comparison. Both Speedwrap on their new golf ball and Speedfoam with P790 are additives, or additives actually to the inside of the golf ball. And they're there to control the sound of the products. On P790, Speedfoam is injected into the iron to allow us to make thinner faces and faster constructions and longer irons. Same thing on Speedwrap. Speedwrap is a core additive that allows us to control the sounds of that golf ball to make faster constructions and longer golf balls. Both Speedwrap and Speedfoam are internal sound control mechanisms to allow her to make faster constructions than we've ever made before, and then overall longer products. But again, as everyone out knows here, if we gave you the worst sounding iron that went forever and the worst sounding golf ball that went forever, no one would play it. And we know that. We've tried, we've tested it. So having these golf balls and irons that we can control the sound and have it feel the way everyone wants it to feel, but now it's faster and longer than it's been before, is truly an incredible separator for us.
So you mentioned the golf ball is longer, and many watching, listening to this might think, how much longer? And I know some of your pros have gone out and actually done testing, including one, Ricky Fowler, who did the TP5 5X 5x5 challenge. Why don't you tell our audience a little about that?
The most common thing we continue to get, and we got from Rory McIlroy 2 weeks ago, is we're a half a club to a club longer than they've been before. And again, I mean, just think about how much that is. That's game changing, right? If you can hit a 9 iron instead of an 8 iron, or 7 iron instead of a 6 iron, that's going to help you play better. I mean, Rory McIlroy put the golf ball in play for the, I mean, he had never played a full round with it. We've tested them with it, but he never played a full round with it until the first event in Dubai, where he shot 9 under with it. I mean, that's incredible to be able to be a half a club to a club longer and do all the calculations that he has to go through and shoot 9 under. Ricky Fowler was the same way. He was almost a full club longer than he'd been. But what's really cool about the new 5 and 5X is the way we're getting to this distance isn't something that's going to be, well, yeah, it might be a half a club to a club for Rory, but it's going to be 2 yards for me. The way we're getting you a lot of that distance is a combination of speed, spin, and optimized dimple patterns with the new TP5X. And with spin and the dimple particularly, that's something that's going to help all golfers. With this 5x5 that you're referencing, is, hey, hit 5 shots with our ball, 5 shots with the ball you're playing, and we'll show you a half a club for the most part. And we're seeing that consistently with pretty much all the golfers out there, which has been a really special product. With golf balls particularly, when we say we can have a product that's measurably and noticeably better, meaning that, heck, it's not just me getting data from all of our engineers saying, look, we could measure it, it's better. But actually you going out there testing it and knowing and noticing the difference, it is really special, particularly for a golf ball.
And I did the exact same test back a couple of months ago. And with a 6 iron, like these guys have been too, I was half a club further, about 5 to 6 yards more of carry with my 6 iron to the previous model of the TP5 5X, which was certainly mind-blowing to see. Now, those watching, those listening are loving everything they're hearing, but they're wondering, which ball is for me? How do they decide whether they go 5X or 5?
It's the biggest question we get is, what ball's for me? And even when we ask golfers, hey, why are you playing your existing golf ball? Most of them have no idea. Oh, it's the one I've always played, or, you know, someone gave it to me. I mean, if you're an average player, and again, I don't mean that negatively. You know, I think we're both average players, but if you're in that mid high handicap, or depending how you play, it's really what you're looking for mostly out of your golf ball. And typically you get two primary benefits. You get distance and you get feel, or you get distance and you get spin around the green or control. And if you're looking for maximizing your distance and the golf ball to go as far as possible, TP5X is your ball. That's what it's designed to do, is be the longest product out there without sacrifices around the green. But if you're someone that cares more about control around the green, spin around the green, soft feel, not that TP5X doesn't have great spin around the green or great feel, but it's just not the primary benefit of that product. So if you're someone that's primary benefits is spin, control, feel, then TP5 is your product. So that's kind of the easy preference-based decision. The slightly more advanced fitting is spin-based. If you're someone that's looking to lower their spin on their driver and long irons, then you should be looking at TP5X. If you're someone that's looking to maximize your spin, or needs more spin with your driver and long irons, or more spin around the green, then TP5 is your ball. And that's really how we fit a lot of tour players. It's mostly spin based. is the TP5X in general is lower spin with the driver, lower spin with the irons, and lower spin with the wedges. Still very high compared to all the other competitive products out there, just lower spin when you compare it to the TP5. And then TP5 will be higher spin with the drivers, still low driver spin, but higher compared to the TP5X, higher with the irons, and then definitely higher with the wedges.
That's a lot of great information there, and I know people listening will definitely take all this into account when they decide which golf ball is for them. So there's a lot of great technology stories in 2024 just in regards to the golf ball itself, but let's just say this year some golf balls might be looking a little different, and that's where visual tech comes in. We'll get to the new ball a little later, which is not released yet, so we won't talk about that just yet, but first, visual tech. Yeah. Players on tour. We learned a couple of things back in South Carolina about how you don't need a number on a golf ball. You could use a logo instead. Why don't you take us through the whole logo and visual tech story with balls in 2024?
I mean, heck, we used to joke all the time, right? Golf balls are all white, round, and sit on the ground. That ain't a thing anymore. For us, if you can visually represent yourself with your more personally identified with your product without sacrificing performance, why wouldn't you? And that's honestly the tact all of our athletes are taking. Obviously, the first big one is guys like Tommy Fleetwood and Ricky Fowler playing Pix golf balls. And we have a new Pix design that's easier to see and easier to align. But Tommy Fleetwood won with Pix just 2 weeks ago out in the Dubai event, which was, again, incredible. It's his second win with our Pix product. But then all of our other athletes where Pix just might be a little bit too much for. Hey, you know what? I'm a great putter, or I'm not necessarily need all that help. What else can I have? And what we're seeing with all of our other athletes is this my symbol that we're referring to. I'm with you. I actually didn't realize you don't need a number on your golf ball either. I just thought that was an important thing that the USGA required. And we checked with the USGA and they're like, no, we just need a brand stamp and a side stamp. And we're like, okay, great. So it opened up this kind of world of personal identification that honestly never existed before. Everyone had looked at numbers. And if you were really special, maybe you did two numbers, like 99, and I think that's Gretzky behind you. And that was really special. But why stop there? You know, why not go four numbers, right? You're your birthday or your kids or whatever it might be, or alphanumeric. You know, you can go Adam on there, or you can do A money with an A dollar sign. You have some fun with it. But then take it a step further. Why not start throwing logos on there? The logo of your golf club, the logo of your favorite sports team, the logo of something you associate yourself with, you know, whether it's, you look like a butterfly guy, beer or whatever it might be, just have some fun. And my favorite is the first time Colin Morikawa used, we made a little caricature of his dog Koa, and, everyone's on the first tee. What are you using? Oh, I got a number one Titleist. I got a number three Callaway. Yeah, I got my dog. And everyone's like, what the heck you mean? He's like, yeah, I got my dog. He's right there. They're like, can you do that? He's like, yeah, you can do it. I'm like, great. He's like, why wouldn't you then? I mean, we're able to provide custom product as easy as we can stock product. We've built the most modern infrastructure in the world around it. And it's going to completely flip the game, whether it's Rory using Roars now in that space, or Ricky using the motocross logo, or Nelly using the cool lion logo with their initials built into it because John Daly was her favorite player forever. I mean, these are all incredible stories that golfers now get to tell. Just, we all like being a little different. I'm sure for any of the listeners out there, how many of you have custom head covers out there? That market is huge. I rarely see core golfers that don't have a different putter or driver or fairway cover. And now being able to do that with your golf ball and being able to change it whenever you want for just a couple bucks more has been so much fun for us.
It's such a cool golf ball story in 2024 all around from TaylorMade. Mike, thanks for your time today.
Scully, thank you so much. Have a great one.
It's such a cool story from TaylorMade with golf balls in 2024. Now, how do you sign up for 20 weeks of TaylorMade? Check out our social media channels. Click the link in our bio, and it's that easy. This season, we're giving away over $35,000 in incredible prizes throughout the year in 2024. When we come back here on GTC, we'll wrap up today's show and we'll let you know when you can watch us on TV throughout the week as we preview the Masters.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by Cadillac's all-electric vehicles that get you in the game. Choose from a $750 credit with Flow or installation of a level 2 home charging capability from Qmerit when you purchase or lease a new Cadillac Lyric. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Adidas Golf and the new Tour 360 24. Tour 360 raises the bar of premium high-performing golf shoe with its improved traction, stability, and comfort, wrapping you with all the confidence you need on the course. Elevate your game with a pair this season by visiting adidas.ca/tour360 to learn more.
Wrapping up our first Masters preview show from Augusta, I'm Adam Scully. Well, here's a look at when you can watch and listen to us on TSN for GTC as we preview the Masters. Coming up Tuesday, 10 p.m. TSN2. Wednesday, 8 a.m. Note that start time, 8 a.m. TSN5. Then at 10 a.m., I'll be back in studio in Toronto, TSN2 and the TSN Radio Network. That's radio simulcast to TV. And then 11 p.m., TSN2 will be on again. Catch Bob throughout the week on TSN with our Masters coverage. Mark will be on with Lindsay Hamilton in Toronto during the morning wave of the Masters. And then I'll be hosting for the second straight year our Masters primetime show each and every round at the conclusion of each and every round. Can't wait for this. Well, thanks so much for joining us this morning. And remember, the first good decision for the golf course, well, it always starts in the closet.
This segment of GTC presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management was brought to you by Adidas Golf and the new Tour 360 24. Tour 360 raises the bar of premium high-performing golf shoe with its improved traction, stability, and comfort, wrapping you with all the confidence you need on the course. Elevate your game with a pair this season by visiting adidas.ca/tour360 to learn more. Thank you for listening to GTC. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Golf Talk Canada and subscribe to our YouTube channel. For show archives, podcasts, and all things GTC, visit golftalkcanada.com. And don't miss Golf Talk Canada Television, weekly on the TSN Television Network.